Our study tonight is out of Jeremiah chapter 48, verses 29 through 47. God's judgment on Moab's excessive pride. Pride is actually the worst of sins because Satan fell due to pride. We know that from 1 Timothy 3:6, and of course Isaiah 14, and I think Ezekiel 28 talks about the fall of Satan as well. Similarly, Moab's chief problem was her pride, and that's actually mentioned in Isaiah 16:6. So God addressed it last in his case against Moab in Jeremiah 48, 29 to 47. And we view this passage for our insight and instruction as follows. I'd like to read the passage, and then we will look at it. Jeremiah chapter 48, beginning at verse 29 and going to the end of the chapter. We have heard of the pride of Moab. He is exceeding proud. His loftiness and his arrogancy, his pride, his haughtiness of his heart. I know his wrath, saith the Lord, but it shall not be so. His lies shall not so affect it. Therefore will I howl for Moab, and I will cry out for all of Moab. Mine heart shall mourn for the men of Kir-Hades. O vine of Sibmah, I will weep for thee with the weeping of Jatzer. Thy plants are gone over the sea. They reach even to the sea of the Jatzer. The spoiler has fallen upon thy summer fruits and upon thy vintage. And joy and gladness is taken from the plentiful field and from the land of Moab. And I have caused wine to fail from the wine presses. None shall tread with shouting. Their shouting shall be no shouting. From the cry of Heshbon even unto Eleleah, and even unto Jahatz, have they uttered their voice. From Zoar even unto Horonaim, as a heifer of 3 years old. For the waters also of Nimrim shall be desolate. Moreover, I will cause to cease in Moab, saith the Lord, him that offereth in the high places, and him that burneth incense to the gods. Therefore mine heart shall sound for Moab like pipes, and mine heart shall sound like pipes for the men of Kir-Hares, because the riches that he hath gotten are perished. For every head shall be bald, every beard clipped, and upon all the hands shall be cuttings, and upon the loins sackcloth. There shall be lamentation generally upon all the housetops of Moab, and in the streets thereof. For I have broken Moab like a vessel wherein there is no pleasure, saith the Lord. They shall howl, saying, How is it broken down? How hath Moab turned the back with shame? So shall Moab be a derision and dismay to all them about him. For thus saith the Lord, Behold, he shall fly as an eagle, and shall spread his wings over Moab. Kerioth is taken. And the strongholds are surprised, and the mighty men's hearts in Moab on that day shall be as the heart of a woman in her birth pangs. And Moab shall be destroyed from being a people, because he hath magnified himself against the Lord. Fear in the pit and the snare shall be upon thee, O inhabitant of Moab, saith the Lord. He that fleeth from the fear shall fall into the pit. He that getteth up out of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For I will bring upon it, even upon Moab, the year of her visitation, saith the Lord. They that fled stood under the shadow of Heshbon because of the force. But a fire shall come forth out of Heshbon, and a flame from the midst of Sihon, and shall devour the corner of Moab, and the crown of the head of the tumultuous ones. Woe be unto thee, O Moab, the people of Chemosh, that's her false god, perisheth. For thy sons are taken captives, and thy daughters captives. Yet will I bring again the captivity of Moab in the latter days, saith the Lord. Thus far is the judgment of Moab. It's an amazing passage. The Lord predicted complete destruction would come upon Moab for her excessive pride in verses 29 to 46. In Jeremiah 48, verse 29, the English Standard Version names Moab's chief sin, claiming that the Hebrews had heard of Moab's pride, that she was very proud in her sense of loftiness above others, pride, arrogance, and haughtiness of heart. It's interesting that pride in the eyes of God is a horrible sin. God wants us to remember he's our creator, and everything we have, everything we get, the food we eat, the water, the drink, it's all a gift from the Lord. Our lives. When we were born, each one of us was an absolutely helpless little baby. If someone else had not taken care of us, we would have died. So we need to remember that we should be humble, and we should be grateful to God for life and for the privileges and blessings that he gives us. God responded that he knew of Moab's insolence, boasts and deeds that were false, as Moab's proud attitude and boasts of her greatness could not relieve her of God's coming judgment. And verse 30, thus God said he would offer up a mourning wail for Moab, that he would cry out for all the people of Moab, mourning for the men of the Moabite chief city of Kir-Hareseth. Borrowing from Isaiah 16:9, Jeremiah indicated that God would weep along with the city of Jotzer for the vines of Sibmah, which had been destroyed. That's an interesting thing, God weeping. There's a verse in, I think somewhere in either one of the prophets or the Psalms that said God takes no joy in the destruction even of the wicked. He doesn't like that. That's not fun for God at all. It's very serious. But here, as God is destroying Moab, he's weeping. Isn't that something? It's amazing. Since Moab, number 5, was known for its vineyards, Jeremiah expanded the image to picture all Moab as a vineyard, that though it had spread as far as the Dead Sea, destroyers would fall on her ripened fruit and grapes, harvesting them like a vine that is plucked of its fruit. Consequently, the agricultural countryside would be devoid of happiness that usually accompanied the harvest, for there would be shouts of alarm instead of the peacetime shouts of happiness at harvest time. When I pastored a church in O'Neill, Nebraska, I worked part-time for one of the farmers in our church. And in the harvest, he was a corn farmer and raised it. And every year we looked forward to the end of the harvest because then he'd take us out for a big harvest dinner. And we went to the American Legion restaurant. And my favorite was, what they called a saint and sinner dinner. It was a steak and a lobster or something like that. And he would feed us. And, oh, it was great. But the harvest was a time of rejoicing. And normally in an agricultural society, it is a time of rejoicing. But what's going to happen is the enemy is going to come and harvest the crops and take them. And so instead of shouts of joy, they're going to be shouts of anger and dismay and terror. So from Heshbon, Elealeh, and Jahatz in the north of Moab to Zoar, Horonaim, and Igleth, Shelishiah, in its south, the entire land of Moab would be devastated by invaders. Also, God would cause Moab's idolaters and their idolatrous practices in its high places to cease. The Lord thus said his heart would moan for Moab like a mourning flute. His heart is a mourning flute for the men of Moab's city, chief city of Kir-Hareseth, and the riches they had gained would perish. Once again, God moaning over the death of these people. We forget that every human being who is born, the DNA of that person is put together in the womb by God. He knew all these people since they were little babies. And so he did not take pleasure in their destruction. 9, the Moabites would perform the mourning practices typical of pagans in the ancient Near East, with every head being shaved, every beard cut off, the hands gashed, the sackcloth worn around the waist. And on every housetop and in the city squares, nothing but lamentation, all because God had broken proud Moab like a clay pot for which no one cared. Where Moab had been so lofty in her pride, she would be turned back by God's judgment and shame, becoming an object of ridicule and horror to all of the nations that surrounded her. So, Jeremiah 48:40-44 revealed that Moab's enemies would swoop down upon her like an attacking eagle, spreading its wings over her to seize her in its claws, taking captives. Even Moab's mighty warriors would be as fearful as a woman in labor at the attack of the invaders. The Lord reminded Moab that she would be destroyed for having magnified herself against the Lord, that such rebellion would lead to all being unalterably judged. Those who would try to flee God's terror would fall into a pit. Any who managed to get out of the pit would be caught in a snare, so that God would make sure that all in Moab would take part in her punishment. See, everybody in the nation at this time, by the time God got ready to judge the Moabites, everybody in the nation was guilty. Everybody. So everybody was going to get the just treatment that was coming to them. The fugitives of Moab would stand by helpless, for God's judgment had gone out into the whole nation, destroying it, taking its sons and daughters captives. So you got on verses 29 to 47, this 46, you've got this extended passage on the destruction of Moab because of its pride. But notice verse 47, the last verse of the chapter. Yet, will I bring again the captivity of Moab. In other words, I'm going to reverse the captivity of Moab in the latter days, saith the Lord. Thus far as the judgment of Moab. That's an amazing thing. This is a nation that had been judged to cease being a people for a period of time because of their pride. But God in grace, during the millennial kingdom, is going to reverse all that. And he's going to bring Moab back. And probably only God knows who are the real Moabites tonight. The Moabites may not even know that they're Moabites. They may think they're Arabs, but they're Moabites. But anyway, an even greater grace than all of Moab's sin or great pride, Jeremiah 48:47 predicts God will again reverse the captivity of Moab in the latter days. He would restore the nation's fortunes in the end. The use of days to come would imply that this restoration will occur during the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, that's predicted in Deuteronomy 4:30, Jeremiah 49:39, Daniel 2:28, and Daniel 10:14. Many, many passages in the Old Testament talk about the latter days, when God restores people. So, for her great pride against even the Lord, God promised to destroy Moab utterly. Nevertheless, an even greater grace, God promised to restore the fortunes of Moab in the coming messianic kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, may we avoid the terrible sin of pride. And if we are guilty of that sin, may we turn from it. May we confess it to the Lord, finding his forgiveness and restoration in his great grace. It's interesting, when we get into these Old Testament prophets, we get a little different slant on the personality and the character of God than we do in the familiar Gospels and in the familiar other passages earlier in the Old Testament, because these prophets give us insight as to the attitude of God when he came, when he judged. In fact, many of the prophets warn again and again and again about judgment to come. It's like God did not really want to have to lower the boom, but eventually had no choice. So then the judgment of God came. God takes no delight in the destruction of wicked. What God delights in is when people repent. Oh, he loves that, because then he can show his mercy. So if we have been guilty of the sin of pride, may we repent, may we confess it, so God can be merciful to us.